Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Is Talk Radio to Thrive By. What a great show we've got planned for you tonight. I happened to call my guest before the show just to say hi, and we were already firing it up. Well, let me tell you what tonight's show is about, because we've got something really special for you. You are actually going to be able to call throughout the show tonight, and we're going to give you a little bit of information on how to go about that. And the reason you're going to want to call in, there are several. First, you're going to want to connect with my very special guest today and find out what's going on in your astrological chart. And what do I mean by that? Well, you're going to get a flavor and a test for it real soon. But beyond that, we have 5 copies of her amazing book to be able to send out to the first 5 callers that call in. When you call in, our friends here at the show will get your contact information, email, so then I will follow up with you. But let me tell you about what tonight's show is about. And again, if you want to call in, make sure you get in the queue. Give that toll-free number a shout, 888-815-9756. Go ahead, 888-815-9756. And our friends over there will pick it up and make it happen. Tonight, joining me on the show, Bridget Walther is joining me. You know why? We are going to be talking about the cosmos. I am so thrilled to have her on the show for a lot of reasons. One, I love talking about astrology, and it's probably the thing that I know least about. That's why I get to bring people like Bridget on the show so we can talk about what astrology is, what her work is, and how amazing the work she does is to so many people. So Bridget, just so you know, she is the author of Conquer the Cosmos. It's a book I have in my hand and a book that many of you are going to receive tonight. So how do we use astrology to attract the man, money, and happiness that you deserve? Tonight's show is about you. Bridget is the numerology writer for Elle magazine, was the astrology writer for Elle.com, Ellegirl.com, and Women'sDay.com, and wrote weekly forecasts for life and style. Her work has been featured on Playboy.com, Match.com, and she is now on the Dr. Pat Show tonight. So if you're wondering... If you're wondering whether Scorpios are sexy and Capricorns are hardworking... Well, let's figure it out. Bridget, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Pat. And it's also my pleasure to have your birth data right in front of me. I am looking at not only your transit chart, but your asteroid chart. And I'm fascinated by both of them. And I really, really want to talk about your chart, if it's okay.
Let's do that right at the top, because what we want to be able to let people know is you all are going to get an opportunity to connect with Bridget tonight. This is such a rare and special event. Rarely will you hear me talk about my chart or have anyone really talk about my chart, but tonight it's special. I don't even know what she's going to say about it. So those of you out there that are thinking, okay, wait a minute, I got to hurry up and get in here, you know how to do it. 888-815-9756. Bridget, thank you. And just in a short period of time, I gave you some information, and you took a look at my chart, and you had some very interesting things to say. What do you say we share that?
Okay. First of all, just looking at, you know, every chart is unique, and there are some very, very unique things in your chart that make yours different from most other charts. For starters, when I look at your asteroid chart, which is different than your natal chart and different than a transit chart or a progress chart, this is where I find your Sun and Chiron conjunct, which is together, right together. And they're in your eighth house. And what this means, the sun is your ego. The sun is the way you present yourself. Chiron is an asteroid that is called the wounded healer. And oftentimes when the sun and Chiron are right next to each other, like they are in your chart, I mean, tightly conjoining each other, like they're clinging to each other,
yeah,
you find yourself in a career that you're compelled to help others. You're compelled to teach others, often through your own pain. And as you heal yourself, you spread that healing out to others. It's sort of like coming down through you and out to others. So it's and plus the fact that you have, you know, a chart is divided into 12 sections, and they're not all equal, and they're not all the same size, and they're not all, I mean, every single section has a different type of significance in an individual's chart. In your particular chart, the eighth house is huge, okay? It's huge. When you were born, you have what's called a stellium in your eighth house, which is three or more planets. Plus, you've got one, two asteroids stuffed in there as well as the sun. So this is this particular sector of your chart represents learning through putting your hand to the fire and learning from the experience. Mm. So you came into this life not to learn things the easy way, not to have a white picket fence and roses and daffodils and Barbie dolls and all of that. You came into this life to test yourself. You knew this coming in. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. You did it anyway. So you've got cojones, okay?
You know, that is very fascinating you say that, because I was just talking to my best friend about this the other day, and both of us almost at the same time said, you know, do you think this is a test?
It is a test. It is a total test. And you chose it. You chose it. You did not. See, that's the thing. With astrology, a lot of times people blame, you know, before the show, you and I were talking about, why do people get so freaked out about Mercury retrograde? Well, they have to have something to blame, okay?
I don't have that feeling.
Me neither. In fact, I look at Mercury retrograde as like, hey, it's a chance to finally get this mess right, okay? Because anytime you have a retrograde planet, I don't care if it's Mercury, if it's Pluto, if it's Saturn, whatever, it's like a second chance. And you can squander it by just wringing your hands and saying, oh, my God, my life's out of control. I can't do anything about this. I might as well just go hide in a hole. No. What you do is you go after the right answer. You try and you try and you try until you get it right. And that's really hard for a lot of people, because there's going to be pink slips, there's going to be defeat, there's going to be discouragement, there's going to be delays. Well, big deal. Welcome to life. Okay?
Yeah, that you've just summarized most of my life right there.
you're not afraid of a retrograde. You're not afraid of a challenge. You came into this life saying, good, bring it on, baby. Your moon, like I mentioned prior to the show, your moon just fascinates me to pieces, because it is in Capricorn.
Okay.
Anytime I see a person with a moon in Capricorn, it's a flag right away.
A good flag or a not so good flag?
It's both, because
when I say
a flag, it means,
okay,
probably not a happy childhood, probably a very successful career and future. Okay?
Okay.
The second half of your life just sums that up pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The second half of your life is gardenias, roses, and bluebells. Okay? The first half of your life was just a lot of vinegar. Okay? You also, and this is so interesting to me, not only do you have your moon in Capricorn, you have your moon conjoining Mars, okay? And they're right up on your midheaven, which means you've had sort of a love-hate relationship with authority figures.
Yes, that's true.
Whoops. Okay.
Yep.
And because, and anybody that tried to tell you what to do, anybody that tried to control you, You'd rather sort of take a punishment and learn the hard way than follow somebody else's orders. It just doesn't make sense to you. So you've got to be your own boss, okay?
Yeah.
You're perfectly willing to cooperate with people who don't try to tell you what to do. You're my kind of girl,
oh,
okay?
You know, and this
and
is really that, true.
That yeah. Saturn in yeah. Libra, I have to say this.
Okay.
As you know, Saturn migrated, Saturn moved into Libra, it migrated back because Saturn is now retrograde. So
okay.
Right now, it's back in Virgo again, quote, pestering Virgos. Okay, it'll be back in Libra. Oh, let me think. It'll be back in Libra in July, late July. And what this means is you're having your second Saturn return. The first Saturn return you had was your growing up period, age 28, 29, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
was your growing up reality check. Okay, I'm either making a commitment or not. I'm making this move or I'm not. I'm going in this direction or I'm not. And I'm going to learn the hard way every step of the way. The second Saturn return is a lot easier.
Oh, you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Because the first one was a nightmare
yeah.
for me.
The first one was horrifying, okay?
But
and it was really heartbreaking, too. It was a real heartbreaker for you.
This yeah, one, it was.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to, what I will say to you is you're going to have some dental work done, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Just FYI.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was planning to have some done, but mostly cosmetic. Just so
well,
you know.
Fine. That's absolutely fine. Cosmetic is good. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, lucky you. Can we just for a moment just get this Mercury retrograde deal out into
yeah.
the open, sort of air
yeah,
the
please.
Dirty diapers of Mercury retrograde? Okay. First of all, Mercury rules communication, timing, itinerary, scheduling, communication, any devices that are involved in communication, cell phones, etc. And people get really panic-struck because when they hear Mercury retrograde, they think, oh, everything's going to blow up in my face and everything's going to go wrong. Well, here's the deal. Mercury normally goes retrograde for a 3-week period officially. Mercury starts to go retrograde April 18th. Okay. Now,
okay.
officially it's over May 11th, but
okay.
keep your party hat to the side. it remains in its storm, which means it's in an apparent slow motion until May 21st. So here's what I would do. I would do my research and my homework like crazy between the 18th of April and the 21st of May. And before I signed an agreement or a contract that was a long-term kind of deal, I would make sure I knew everything, that I'd asked every question, that I'd shown it to an attorney that I really trust, that I investigated it. If you play like, oh, well, I guess I just have to do it and I just have to trust you, you're going to get what you might take a hit, okay?
Okay.
If
mm-hmm.
you research it and study it, you're in. You're fine. It's that way with all retrograde planets. And, you know, Pluto is retrograde right now, too. And
yeah.
will be until September.
You know, you
okay.
said one thing that I want you, Bridget, to just clarify for most people listening to the show, because I'm so glad yeah. you brought this whole Mercury and retrograde thing up. And I want to just mention
yeah.
to everybody out there, if you'd like to call in, we're going to be taking your calls throughout the show, 888-815-9756. One of the things you said that I've never heard anyone say is that you said, you know, you just want to be really careful of long-term agreements or commitments.
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
a misunderstanding yeah. because people read Mercury and retrograde and they sign nothing. They don't even sign things that can
yeah.
be
yeah.
you know, changed the next day. So can you
no,
just
that,
talk about
silly.
That a little bit?
I will absolutely talk about it. I mean,
okay.
I remember I can give you an example, okay?
Okay.
Many, many years ago, I bought a big old house, a wonderful big old Mediterranean house here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And decent price. had people come in and tented during a Mercury retrograde, and the name of the company, which I cannot say without defaming the company, indicated
right.
that they were really great and they would get rid of any pets. Well, the house was loaded with termites, and because I did it during the Mercury retrograde period, sure enough, the house was still loaded with termites when the tenting came off. But here's the good news. The good news is the former owner said, that's just not fair. I'm going to pay for all of the damage. I'm going to reimburse you. I'm going to make sure, and this was after Mercury went direct, that this house is termite-free. So that's the lesson that I want people to... There's no need to panic, as if we don't have enough reasons to get anxious in this world.
Exactly.
Okay? Half the world's on Xanax, okay? So if we don't have enough reasons to get nervous, Mercury retrograde is not a reason to get all freaked out. Mercury says study, study, study. Do your homework. Do your research. Don't just hope it'll work out. You have to do some. You have to make effort. I think, Pat, I think that's the thing that people forget about astrology. It's about taking action, taking a position, taking a stand, trying things different ways, growing and evolving. It's not about, geez, things just happen to me.
Right. And I'm glad you said that, because that really is a misconception. And people turn to astrology for a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, what do you find are the most common reasons people will turn to astrology? I know why I do it, but, you know, what are you finding in general?
Love, money, health. those are the three biggies. Love, money, health. You know, is he cheating or isn't he? Is she cheating or isn't she? Am I ever going to get out of this financial rut? I am in the deepest hole I've ever been in. And I'm, you know, considering having surgery. It's very, very serious surgery. Is it okay for me to have it on this date? Blah, blah, blah. Those are the three things that normally come up. But I also have people say, is it safe to get on a plane on this day?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know,
I want to
mention to everybody on the show, first of all, those of you just tuning in, that what a great show. I am so thrilled to have Bridget joining us here tonight. Bridget Walther is joining us here tonight. The book is Conquer the Cosmos. And the foreword was written by Cher. That was great to read that. And you've known Cher for a long time.
Yeah, she's great. She's an absolute, I mean, she's a real strong, and she's a moon in Capricorn girl, too, just like
oh,
you.
No kidding.
No kidding. And she's worked everything she has, she's earned on her own. Every single thing she has. She doesn't owe anybody a damn thing. She worked hard. And that's a typical moon in Capricorn scenario. And that's my girl there. She's hardworking. She knows how to use astrology to its best advantage, and she doesn't depend on it by any means. She uses it. She applies it as a tool, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It's like your toolbox, part of your toolbox, your mental toolbox. When you need, a particular type of hammer or nail, and you want to make it just right, you utilize astrology to help you make it just right, to make that adjustment.
Well, and, you know, we're going to make sure that folks have your website. As a matter of fact, Bridget, let's take a minute and do that now. Let's make sure people know how to get to your website. I have BridgetWalther.com. Is that right?
That's correct. And you spell my name because it's Irish, my first name.
Yeah.
And my last name is German. So, it's, you know. Bridget is BRIDGETT, last name is WALTHER.com, and it is a subscription site. You can join for free or you can join for $4 a month and get more features. So people who want to join, feel free to join. We're going to launch a new look in 2 to 6 weeks, which is going to be dramatic and very beautiful. Yeah, very proud of.
Oh my gosh! So this is going to break my heart a little bit. Can I tell you? Tell me what part of my sign, is fixated on this. So I went to your site. And on your site, and folks, please go to this site and check this out before this changes, because I'm not sure it's going to be back. If you go to Bridget's site, right there on the home page, there's this crystal, right?
Yeah.
And it changes color. I have to tell you, I started meditating to the crystal.
Yeah.
And I watch it. This is amazing to me. And I want to ask you about that, because I'm so drawn to things like that.
Well, see, of course you are. You're a total evolutionary creature, okay? That's what you're all about. That's what your chart is all about. And right now in particular, oh, my goddess, okay? You have the sun, the moon, Mercury, and Venus transiting through your 12th house, making you super psychic, super sensitive, super porous to your environment. And meditation is your very best friend right now. You need some quiet time. You need some peace. You need silence. Real, turn off the electronics, turn off the noise, and go deep inside. Go inside that lotus blossom that you put yourself in when you meditate. Go inside there and stay inside there and just allow yourself to rebuild your own energy. Because here's what I'm seeing with your chart, especially
okay.
It is a total wounded healer site. You need to refuel your own energy every single day because you give so much away.
I'm not really doing a good job of that. I'm not right
so
now because I have so many things that I want to do, to help other people that, I'm not driven. How do I want to say it? I'm not driven as a workaholic because I think I have to. I really feel like I'm on some mission or something here, Bridget.
You are. Actually, you are, okay, and your mission is very humanitarian, and you feel very obligated. You're like a mother of 13 children. You have this need to nurture, okay? It's just need. There's one goddess, and I'm trying to remember which one it is, an ancient goddess that had like rows and rows and rows and rows of breasts to feed mankind. And your chart reminds me of that, because you want to nurture and feed and nurse all these people, but you have to feed yourself. You have to go to that quiet place inside at least once a day, and put yourself in the mood, whether you're gazing at a crystal. There's a lot of good gazing stones for you, by the way. And you know what I would recommend to you? Alexandrite. I would so recommend a beautiful cabochon alexandrite, because it changes colors to gaze upon for your meditation, or to hold in your hand for your meditation. That's what I would. Right now you're in such a strong, besides being very receptive, you're in a power cycle. You're in a rebuilding cycle, a creating cycle. So this is really, alexandrite is so good for that. So very good. And another great thing, I'm thinking black tourmaline, because it's so protective. And people who are working on something of great significance, which you will be, need black tourmaline to protect them from any kind of, irritation.
I actually have some. I mean, I must have intuitively known to get some.
I'm
curious about you for a minute. I've read your, first of all, I love the book. Let me start by just saying this.
Thank you.
I love what you've done. And we're going to talk about some of the indicators you have in the book, especially the indicator for love. but how did this journey begin for you, Bridget? I'm always so fascinated to hear other people's stories and how they weave through the pathways of life to bring them to the present.
Well, mine, of course, like so many people, started because of pain, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think most people who work in any healing field or therapeutic work have some close, intimate experience of pain, either a relative or their own pain. And with me, it was a very bad car accident, a head-on collision with an oil truck on a two-lane bridge. You know, there was nowhere to go except into the dashboard. And I broke my face and broke my back. And then they said I died. And they revived me, but I got to see what it was like on the other side, and I loved what I saw. I loved the way I felt. Didn't want to come back, really, but felt, no, my poor parents, I have to do it. I have to come back. So I did. I came back. I could hear them say something about my blood pressure, having a blood pressure. And then there was 3 months of not being able to walk and being hospitalized, and the lying in the bed without any feeling from the waist down really taught me a lesson about being humble and not expecting anything to happen unless I worked really hard for it.
Wow.
So after 3 surgeries, 3 spinal fusion surgeries, and a great deal of reconstructive maxillofacial work done, and other injuries as well, internal injuries, I was able to exit the hospital in a body brace and be able to stand up for a period of time and gradually learn to walk again. And during that time period, I left my body many times. Sometimes it would just happen very unexpectedly and almost frighteningly to me, because I didn't know if I could get back in. You know, I really didn't. I would be watching my body and trying to get back in, and I wasn't sure if I could or not. It wasn't always a pleasant experience. When I died, quote unquote, it was a very pleasant experience. It was something to look forward to for all of us. Believe me, it's great.
Bridget, do you think that knowing enabled you to come back to this plane, you know, this body, you know, this earth suit that we wear? Do you believe that knowing of what it's like on the other side enabled you to become more fearless when you got back here?
Yeah, and I do. I think that fearless in a very spiritual way.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Not fearless in a mechanical way, because I was afraid of cars for a long time. Mm-hmm. And because every time I would sit in the passenger seat of a car, and to this day, when I sit in the passenger seat of a car, I brace myself for an accident, because that's where I was. So my body still reacts to that. But in terms of spiritually, I can't wait. Okay? I can't wait for that again. And it'll be here before I know it. And it'll be wonderful. So, because time goes by very, very, our time goes by very, very quickly, except when we're a child waiting for Christmas. It goes by very, very quickly. I will say that the experience, the humility that I learned from having to learn how to walk, from being in a rather disfiguring brace that went up both sides of my head, and feeling like a geek and squeaking, you know, because the pieces of metal would go eek, like that when I'd walk. I learned that I really wasn't such a, you know, a hot tamale. I wasn't such a big deal. I was basically a person struggling to get through and to get back. And honestly, that whole humbling experience makes me real sympathetic to people going through hard times, because I've been there, and I get it. And yeah. I know what it's like to have no guarantees, no promises that you'll ever walk again, no promises that you'll ever be normal again, no promises that your legs will ever be the same length again. And I worked my way back, okay? I worked my way back into health. And then my final spinal fusion failed just this last year. It failed, finally, after all these years. And I had electrodes put in my back that stopped the pain sensation so I can walk and move and do things again. But, you know, it's been an ongoing lesson, a reminder. It happened during my Saturn return, by the way.
Oh,
isn't that interesting? My second Saturn return when I had the electrodes put in. So it was a reminder, just a reminder of, hey, you're not Superwoman. You think you are. You've talked yourself into believing that you can do it all, that you can always, you know, sort of manage things and be faster and beat your own personal best and so on and so on, because I'm kind of athletic, as most of us Sages are.
Until we come down with some kind of physical thing that just, you know, gives us a whole new perspective on life, don't you think?
Exactly. And I needed to get that lesson, you know, and I got that lesson right in my face when I was 19, mm-hmm. when my face basically ended up in the dashboard of the mm-hmm. car, a metal dashboard, no less.
Yeah.
And I got it again this past December when they said, well, you know what, guess what, the fusion has outlived, you've outlived the fusion, we have to do this. We're putting these electrodes in your spinal column, and we're putting a battery in your buttocks, and you plug it into the wall every now and then, you recharge yourself, and now you're good to go. You're a hybrid now. So I'm sort of a Prius.
I mean, come on. Only two Sagittarians could laugh about that, don't you think?
That's right. Yeah. And with
you know what I'm saying?
You've got Taurus rising.
You're probably giving all the Virgos a heart attack. I don't know.
I know.
I love, and let me just tell everybody, I really love this book. And, you know, Bridget Walther is joining me here today. The book is Conquer the Cosmos, available everywhere. And we'll make sure you have our website again. One of the things that I do want to touch upon, because I was really struck by this in your book.
Yes.
This idea of ratings. You've gone through and now, you know, it seems like, and I didn't actually pick this up right away, but when we're talking about relationships, like, for example, you know, I don't know. Have you been able to kind of line up with your perfect match, or do you kind of get, you know, go after people that are absolutely not good for you?
I always go after a challenge. I go after a challenge every single time. I am not interested in a perfect match. I love a challenge, and I am married to a challenge, and I love it.
Okay.
I am not looking for easy. I am looking for a puzzle to solve, a riddle to solve that I happen to love, okay? I'm married to a Cancer. I'm a Sagittarius, okay?
Right.
That's very good in terms of chemistry, but from the Sagittarius's position, it's different than from the Cancer's position. So when you look at those ratings, when you read, for example, Sagittarius with Cancer, it'll be one thing, and then you look at Cancer and you compare Cancer to Sagittarius, it might be a different rating, because you have to read it through the eyes of that sign. See what I mean?
I found that completely fascinating in here, and
yeah.
I actually looked back retrospectively in the book, you know, thinking about how things work. But what I want to do is, we've got a caller. We've got Tim calling in from Ohio. I would love to bring Tim on just to get a sense, you know, for what's going on there. When we come back, I want to share some interesting love secrets with you. Tim, are you there? We'd like to welcome you to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Hey, I was wondering, what do you believe that there's reincarnation, that we come around many lifetimes or just one time?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think we come around a lot. I have to tell you that, because what I saw when they couldn't get a blood pressure or a heartbeat on me, what I saw was a continuum. I mean, it was a Mobius strip. What I saw was forever, and it felt very comfortable. And so I thought, well, I'm not over. I'm not really dead. I'm just moving into a different space. And it was a very comfortable space. No pain whatsoever. No worry whatsoever until I thought about my parents. Then, bang, right back into my body and so on. I absolutely do believe that we choose our lives. We come back in various eras. I mean, that's one reason why some people are so attached to certain parts of the world. And, for example, when I go to France and go to the Ile de Cité, where Notre Dame is, I feel like I built that place. I was one of the people that helped build it. I feel at home there. I feel like, oh, I'm home. Great. Good. That's, when you have that kind of sensation, I think that there is probably a karmic, what they would call a karmic link to that location. Yes. Oh. And how do you feel about it?
Well, I can see both ways, so that's why I'm asking, you know? It's kind of hard to say. I know, I've heard that Christianity used to have reincarnation in, but then they took it out of the Bible, you know?
But then, of course, as you know, there are a whole lot of wonderful scrolls that have not been included in the Bible that we read today.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
And so, once we start interpreting all of those various scrolls, we're going to learn a lot more, because reincarnation is an ancient, ancient, ancient concept. And can I tell you a really brief example of why I think?
Yes, please.
My littlest sister died when she was just shy of 15 because a car hit her. And I went to a medium within days after that happened. And the medium had no idea why I was there, okay? And it was daylight, it was bright daylight coming in through the windows. The chair, as soon as she sat down, the medium sat down on the bed, the chair I was sitting on started bopping up and down, just banging up and down. The room got cold. I got cold from the inside out. Everything got cold. And she said, you have to let go of her. You have to let go of her. She needs to be released. She knew my sister had died. Then she described her injuries. And then she said, you know, the last time she was here, she was on the Titanic. And she lived. So the fact that I had physical manifestation while I was with this medium, I know it sounds bizarre, okay? I understand that. It's too much for some people to take. But I lived it. I went through it.
Not the listeners. Don't worry. Not the listeners. Not the listeners to
my
show. They're going to get it completely.
And I got to tell you, it was so comfortable for me to have that manifestation because I did not want to lose my connection with my baby sister. So it made me feel better knowing that her energy is there. Okay, it's still there, and I feel her. I feel her periodically.
Yeah.
And
wow.
her best friend, who used to live next door to us, feels her periodically. And when we get together, we cry, and we cry happy tears though, because we know she's with us. She's part of us. So
what a beautiful story! Thank you, for sharing that, Bridget. Tim, are you still with us?
Yeah. Hey, I got another question.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you believe in the judgment day thing, like God judges us and this heaven and hell thing?
Well, you know, Bridget, you can answer that first, and then I'll take a shot at it.
Okay, I think we really do a magnificent job of creating our own hell. I mean, I think we're just, all you have to do is turn on the news, and you can see hell in flames, you know, because it's the news is, if it bleeds, it leads, okay? I think we're really good at creating our own hell, And I, mm-hmm. yes, I think that there is hell on earth, if that's what you're asking. Can mm-hmm. we
no, I mean after a person dies,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, let me jump in and answer that for myself as well. Let me just tell you, Tim, from my background, one of the things I love about, you know, the way my stepmom raised me was the first thing she taught us all was to love everyone. And I remember being very young and really questioning so many things, especially the fact that my dad was Catholic and here we were in this kind of different kind of spiritual relationship as a family. But I remember one day she said to me something so profound, I'd never forget it. And actually, you know, Bridget, she did say, this is, you know, if you believe in hell, you're probably living it. But what she said to me was that the God that she knew, and she said, whatever you call it, the God, the spirit, the God that she knew was a God of unconditional love.
Exactly.
And she said something to me that I never forgot. And she said, if you exhibit or try to demonstrate unconditional love throughout your life, you will live a life without judgment. And so I don't know if that answered your question directly, but from my background, that's sort of the spiritual learning
that
I've had.
That's the New Testament. That's the New Testament version, and that is mm-hmm. the version that I prefer, and that's mm-hmm. that I want to live.
Yeah. That's what I believe as well, Tim.
Yeah. The hellfire and brimstone can be found in the Old Testament and many religions, and I have respect for all religions and all faiths and every to each his own. But people oftentimes ask me, because sometimes I channel things by accident when I'm doing a reading for someone, and it just happens. One of their relatives comes through and wants to tell them something, and I have to say it. And they say, oh, wasn't that scary for you? No, it wasn't. It wasn't scary at all. In fact, it was very comfortable, because that spirit of love that wanted to come through and say something loving to their person that misses them, that cries when they think about them, now feels better. So to me, that is an act of love. And I have to totally agree with Pat. I think that as you think, that determines the quality of your life, that mm-hmm. determines what you attract and the energy that you attract. If mm-hmm. you walk in fear, if you live in fear, or if you live in hatred, or if you live in fear of punishment of some sort, if you have a heavy
which we call guilt.
Guilt, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Unload on a therapist, on your priest, on somebody, okay? Unload okay. that guilt, and then walk in peace. That's mm-hmm. what I would say.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for joining us tonight. I think that they're going to get your phone, they're going to get your email account so we can send you a copy of the book as well.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay.
Yeah, what do you think happens to the people that commit suicide?
Oh, I think
a big question, but I can't wait to hear what Bridget has to say.
See, I don't condemn people who commit suicide. And believe me, you know, I'm Irish, okay? I have plenty of Catholicism in my background, too, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't believe you automatically condemn yourself to hell. I think people who commit suicide are in terrible mental pain can actually hurt more than physical pain. I don't, for anybody who's ever experienced extreme grief, they know what I'm talking about. They know that that hurts more than a heart attack. That hurts more than cancer. That hurts unbearably, and it can go on for years. Mm-hmm. So when a person kills him or herself because he or she is in such suffering, no, I don't consider it a sin. I don't consider that person's soul goes to hell. I don't consider any of that. I think that that person is mm-hmm. saying, I just can't take the pain anymore. Mm-hmm. I need
yep.
out.
And you know, Tim,
I don't
thank you for calling. Yeah, I mean, if I were to follow my stepmom's teachings and look at everything as love, how can you not love someone, whether they're alive or otherwise?
That's
and
right.
I think that's the thing that I take away from whatever my, and I don't do it perfectly. I'm not a saint. But whenever I get down a court, I like to remind myself that we can always go to a place of love. So thank you, Tim.
Oh,
thanks for calling tonight. Thanks for chiming in. Okay, everyone, we have a few minutes left if you want to connect. 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. You know, we were talking about love a little bit here, and I want to get back to it because, you know, before Tim came on, you were talking about the way that you, Bridget, and again, thank you so much for joining us here, but you were talking about something that I found interesting in the book as well. And I wanted to get your take on it. I know that you talk about it in terms of love, but can't the same be applied in terms of relationships with people? And I have the exact thing happen to me. Yeah.
We had to, in the interest of space, and the size of the book that we wanted to make, we had to make it fairly simple in terms of, you know, the word love. It can be agape, it can be erotic, it can be any kind of love we're talking, you know, you can imagine.
Right.
I do talk about family relationships and friends and so on, too, not just, you know, erotic love. But, you know, love, to me, is a great healer. Mm-hmm. And I think if you go into a situation anticipating love instead of anticipating rejection or anticipating failure or going in defensively, you're going to get love. You're going to get, when you pass a person on the street and they smile at you, what do you think? You smile back, don't you? You feel good.
Yeah.
They're sending something to you. And it's energy. It's an energy wave of love. And love is extremely powerful. Now, you know, you can be a very loving soul and still die an early death, but you can, that was my sister. She was a very loving soul. She died an early death. But as the medium said to me, she did what she needed to do. She came here and got it done. She got done early. I could accept that because my sister influenced a great deal of people, helped a great deal of people, in just short of 15 years, changed other people's lives. And this is continuing, even now. So, you know, the length of time on this planet is not as important as what you do while you're here, in my opinion. And I think
I love what you just said. I agree, yeah.
We earn it every day. We earn love by giving love every day. It's a daily process, and we have to consciously project love, okay, instead of backbiting and sniping. And, you know, to be really honest with you, I don't watch the news much anymore. It's too negative.
I know, I don't either.
It's too small-minded. It's so anal retentive. It's just not me, okay? So I don't bother with it. It's like, ooh, gag. I would rather, seriously, it is a total gag job for me. So I would rather project love. I would rather meditate. I would rather do my work and write. I would rather walk my dogs for a good long, you know, 6-mile walk. I would rather do almost anything than listen to the same regurgitation of negativity that happens to come across the television set. It just is not for me.
I love what you said because, you know, people have said to me, and you know this, you know, how does a show like the Dr. Pat Show, which is an upbeat, positive, education, informative, spiritual show, how does it make it in the world of the mega conglomerates? And, you know, my answer is that vibrationally people are hungry for a new message. And that's, I think, what you're saying as well. You know, folks are seeking answers. I love the way you've written this book, and I am shocked
thank you
by how accurate you are. I really am. I mean, and the reason I think I keep talking about the way that you match people up is I went in and looked at my own personal experience, relationship experience, and one that, you know, ended after about 13 years here about a year and a half ago. And I was all of a sudden enlightened by what you wrote. It was all of a sudden
excellent.
I thought, oh, my gosh, yeah. Because here's what you say about the relationship between Sagittarius and Aquarius.
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The bottom line is you all can get the book and read this to yourself. But you say one thing very different from the Aquarian's point of view, which none of us Sagittarians really take the time to look at.
Yeah.
And this is what I love on how you talk about these signs and how you talk about the journey of people. You know, what may be good for one sign, you and I, may not be the ice cream for the other sign.
That's right.
It may not be it. And one of the things you say so wonderfully, and this was the punchline to me, you know, you say this, and I'm not going to call my ex an oddball, but you do. You say, if you're an oddball kind of Aquarius and are strictly seeking security, stay away from Sagittarius. Now, you've looked at my chart, and you could see what's happening with my chart last year and sort of what perhaps been happening over the past 3 years.
Yes.
So clearly, this was very insightful. Because if you are looking for security, you're probably not going to want to hang out with somebody like me or maybe even somebody like you, Bridget.
And, you know, let's face it, you know, just basically, Aquarians have had a hell of a tough time themselves.
Yeah.
They've had we're talking 14 years. They've had a tough time. So, isn't that interesting? And how long were you with this person again now?
13 years.
13 years.
But, you've looked at my chart. So you know that these past 5 years for me have all been about reinventing. Probably the most.
Totally.
I went from an early part of my life working 25 years for one company now to being, you know, self, what do they call it? Rebirthing or recreating or whatever. Yeah.
You're so independent. You do not belong in a corporate setting where you're just another suit, okay? You're not just another suit at all. You're the only, and blue jeans or whatever. I mean, you're it. You need to be in charge, period. Mm. You know, there's just no two ways about it.
Now, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, you can't be corralled. You'll kick the corral down. You'll knock it down. Every time. If somebody
I'm
tries
feeling
to expose
definitely
you,
like that. Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
What I think is so important is that people right now, Bridget, are trying to figure out their lives.
I know.
They're asking the questions like Tim. They're asking questions, you know, what am I here for? Can I really reinvent myself? How does your work help people get to that place?
Well, mostly using timing, okay? When people are going through crisis, and we cannot escape this planet without having some sort of crisis, and every crisis becomes a challenge and a lesson and an opportunity. You can watch it. You can watch the phase happen. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives, how crisis evolves into challenge, evolves into opportunity. Over and over and over again, that's what I see. Now, sometimes people get caught in one of those facets and they can't move forward. So they're trapped. And maybe they'll go to their priest, or maybe they'll go to their therapist, or maybe they'll go to their astrologer, or to their mom, or whoever, and try to get unstuck. stuck because you have to have that flow in order to grow. Now, your chart's full of growth, so you don't have any worry about, there's no worries here about growth and flow here. You're not in your chart. Not in mine either, okay? But most people very reluctantly let go of the past, even if it's hurting them. And right now, with a number of planets retrograde, particularly Pluto, I'm very just absolutely amazed by Pluto. I find Pluto to be one of the most, even though they're saying, oh, it's a mini planet, it's a junior planet, it's a tiny ball of ice, it's just a snowball, you know, people have put it down, scientists have put it down and saying, it's a junior, well, let's don't even call it a real planet anymore. Well, whatever you want to call it, it affects our lives.
Yeah,
and it even affects the country because it's opposing our country right now. And we all know where we are. So our country meaning the USA. All right. Pluto is retrograde until mid-September. Pluto is in the sign of Capricorn right now, which means it's opposing the sign Cancer. And the U.S. is a Cancer country. And for all people out there who are Cancerians, they may be feeling the pressure of Pluto opposing them. What Pluto is trying to teach them right now is the relationship that they have with somebody. Now, this can be, you know, a global relationship, a detente kind of situation, or it can be a person-to-person relationship, must change. You have a limited amount of time, like mid-September, to make the adjustment, to make the change, to find acceptance, and if at all possible, to go in love and peace.
Mm.
That's what it's trying to teach us. Pluto is the ultimate transformer. And when I look at your chart, your amazing chart, FYI, you've got, and I keep mentioning the stellium, your stellium is in the normal placement for Pluto. It's in the eighth house. So this just, it's like it's almost compressed, all of this growth, this forced growth. It's sort of like you came into this life and you were forced to change. You were forced to grow. Whether you wanted to or not, you had to in order to survive. And now look what you've done.
You know, I have to tell you, I have been able to talk to thousands of people since I started this show, and I feel like you have just looked inside my soul, and I want to thank you so much. I have never heard anybody talk about, you know, my chart in a way that truly represented the journey of my life. This is incredible.
Well, Pat, I got to tell you one more thing, just really quick. I know we're short on time here, but you're going to create a whole new way of getting your message out. I want to just cap it off with that. That's the icing on the cake.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope you will come back. I mean, we do 14 hours of live radio a week, so there's plenty of other places for you to come on and chat with me here, Bridget. Let's give out your website again and how people can get a hold of you personally.
They can email me at astroabby, A-S-T-R-O-A-B-B-Y, at verizon.net, or they can go to my site at www.bridgetwalther.com, or they can go to any search engine and Google Astro Abby or Bridget Walther, and they'll find me.
Wow, what a great show. Thank you so much, Bridget. This has been
my
amazing.
Pleasure.
I hope you will take me up on my offer and join me again. Thank you so much.
Of course.
What a cool time, everyone. For more information about the Dr. Pat Show, you know how to find me. Go to drpatlive.com. I want to thank all of the folks behind the scenes that have made this show absolute perfection. I want to thank all of you for tuning us in and turning us on. And remember this, you truly are a place of love. And I'm here to remind you, so is Bridget, remember to live life full out. We'll see you next time.